What's good, listeners? Welcome to the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show, Bunker Edition. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh, it's beautiful. We had rain this week.
Yes, we did. It's been overcast here in Southern California, but I have to announce this at the top of the show. I regret informing the listening audience that this will be Marissa and I's last show we do together.
Ever. I couldn't handle it anymore.
3 years going into the... I can't keep a straight face. April Fools!
Yeah, you're stuck with us.
Yeah, you're stuck with us, you cheeky bastards. But hey, we always like to do this on the top of the show. It is April Fool's Day, but there was a lot of exciting things that happened on this day. So in 1976, Rush disregarded their record label's wishes and released one of their most iconic albums today, 2112. And also on this day in 1983, Exodus guitarist, you might have heard of this cat, his name was Kurt Hammett. He gets a call from his manager, Mart Whitaker, and he was asking him, you should leave that thrash metal band that you're in, and you should go and audition for Metallica. And the rest is history. And also on this day, 17 years ago, Sin City was released. And, you know, it's unfortunate we heard about the news about Bruce Willis, and he's going to have a great career. And I hope you enjoy your retirement, my friend. But we got a great show for everybody that's tuning in, because we got this legendary band. They are blowing up in Milan, Italy. They're a four-piece punk band called Def Lingo, and they're going to be discussing their new album dropping at the end of April called Lang on Barry. I'm probably butchering it, but hey, that's what the band's here for, to let us know how to properly pronounce the new album title. But also want to remind everybody, don't forget to check out our brand new podcast series called Off the Fret, featuring the Phoenix Within as our third guest ever. More music talk. And all right, Marissa, it's time to rock and roll. What's good, listeners? This is Just Talking, where Marissa and I discuss all the latest news circulating around the world. Here is the week's wrap. After Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars for making a joke about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, the public spent most of its energy this week discussing whether Will Smith has the right to smack a comedian for making comments about his wife's hair loss known as alopecia. And I'll start off by saying this, Marissa, because I definitely want to know your thoughts on this. Just because you can explain it doesn't excuse it. And there's a lot of people that are putting so much focus on wondering how Will Smith thinks, but why is no one talking about how Chris Rock feels? I mean, after all, he's the victim. How do you think the Academy is handling this situation? I think it's
I want to start off first. I'm so outraged. Chris Rock, a lot of you don't know, he was severely bullied as a kid. Like, I'm actually like tearing up thinking about it. Not only he was so bullied, it became sexual assault bullying, right? And so he went through his whole life doing this. One reason about comedians, they'll use humor to get away. I'm crying because I'm just so mad, right?
Yeah.
And what Will did was he was a bully. And what my response, I saw Chris Rock, he didn't respond back because he went into that flight or fight mode, right?
Yeah.
And so his thing was to shut down and freeze. And that's what we saw. We literally saw his amygdala like kicking in for survival. And I was so mad. And the fact that, I'm sorry, I'm like still so mad, I'm crying. Like, it really bullying really upsets me. And how he hit Chris Rock handled that with just keeping the show going, the poise, you know what I mean? But it's like, he has to process. He did a stand-up comedy later that week, and he even said, I have to process what happened.
Yeah.
Like, this was not just a slap. Like, this was trauma.
It's hard to process it when you don't have the Academy having your back.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that the producers behind the scenes obviously have an inclination of who's going to win Best Actor later in the night, but they shouldn't have used that as the reason to keep Will Smith inside that theater house. That is beyond sickening.
And TMZ just broke this morning, because I do read my TMZ, that the Academy has lied. They never asked Will Smith to leave. So they have been saying, oh, we asked him, he didn't want to go. They never asked him.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you. I think that they lied, because all you have to hear is Ellen DeGeneres' interview with Wanda Sykes, and she perfectly put it. It was gross that he was still allowed to remain in the theater.
So and got a standing ovation.
And she was the Oscar host. So if the Oscar host is questioning why the Academy even allowed Will Smith to say, is beyond crazy. And, you know, this is a reoccurring thing that seems to go on with the Academy. We don't have enough time to keep lingering on this, but you know what? Adrien Brody in the past in 2003 kissed Halle Berry on stage unwarranted. They never ended up doing anything. We got people like the guy from The Godfather Part 2, Carmine. He was banned, Marissa, back in the day in 2004 because he shared screen previews on a copy of VCR tapes with his friends and family. So if we can ban this individual for something so stupid, it should be like a 5-year ban. But we allow Will Smith to be able to walk Scott.
No, a lot needs to happen, and he needs to do community service. He needs to learn about bullying. And his apology on Instagram, probably not written by him, but probably by his publicist. Completely. I'm sorry, just his kid. I'm not gonna bring his kids in because that's their dad. I'm talking about Will Smith, right? Will Smith, that was a BS apology. You didn't even call Chris Rock. Like, homie,
Yeah, it's crazy. Beyond. But the other headline news that's just par to par with Will Smith is Disney. And they're making headlines this week after a leaked Zoom meeting called Walt Disney's Reimagine Tomorrow has gone viral for promising to convert 50% of the regular and reoccurring characters across the Disney universe will come from underrepresented groups such as racial minorities and the LGBTQ plus community. And I mean, having visibility of the same-sex couples isn't bad per se, but I think the backlash Disney is receiving is fair. It's when they often seem to claim it's for the better that goes haywire, in my opinion. And because of this, Marissa, I thought this was actually kind of intriguing. A conservative outlet known as the Daily Wire is spending $100 million to create Daily Wire's kids because they feel like a lot of the push that Disney's doing is gonna, it's not the most responsible place for kids. What's your take on this? Because you do have a young child. That's
so growing. Yeah, kind of interesting. I always, I love Disney. I love the move that they're gonna do. I think but it still has to fit the story. If the story has already been out there, right? I think it needs to kind of fit it. Like, it needs to make sense. Like, especially if you're reimagining, it still has to make sense. I'm about new content. Chris, we talk about this all the time. You're for new content. We're like, new content. Let's make the stories. Let's bring the inclusivity into it. Now, as far as that other end of it, depending on where you fall in your viewpoints of LGBTQIA, like, I know one of my brothers does not allow his daughters to watch Disney. And he didn't because of pushing an agenda that he doesn't have in his household. Now, my other sister on the opposite spectrum of political views didn't let her kids watch Disney because of the violence. Because they kill every mom and dad possible. here's trauma.
It's Happy just Disney, funny right? Let's talk about the second half part that people have been having such a hard time too. Which it's kind of funny because it's like they are known for creating the princess and princes, and now they're advising theme park employees to remove that phrase. They don't even want you saying gentlemen, ladies, boys, and girls. Which I have to remind people, this is actually not new news. When I was working 3 years ago for outside LA City Hall hosting their New Year's Eve parties and also doing their 4th of July, these kind of inclusive talks were being brought up. Like, they wanted you to say stuff like, what's good, folks? Like, you're a part of a Looney Tune film. Or they would say, what's good, party people? Which to me was always kind of strange, but it even seems even more stranger when you got Disney that has a long history of having princesses, but now that's like a word that's supposed to be outlandish nowadays. My opinion, Marissa, I don't know about yours, but
just
it's
do
like,
princex. Get it? It's princes and princesses, but princex.
It's just so, to me, it's just so strange because it's like, what about 95% of the country? Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say real quickly, it's like 95%. 95% of the country doesn't identify with the pronoun, so it's kind of strange. But hey, get this, fam. PlayStation Plus is getting a major revamp in June. Sony's subscription service will offer three pricing tiers tailored for different users. Marissa, it seems to me, though, Sony and Microsoft have been bracing for their Netflix and Spotify moment for years now. And, you know, I have such a hard time believing, especially when you see the tiers right here. These are all the pricings from United States, Europe, United Kingdom, and Japan. But we got games now that have a production worth $120 million. And if we start relying on subscription services who charge a minimal fee of $9.99 a month, how can they possibly survive? And there are games out there. There are thousands of games, let alone on the PlayStation Store, that have indie developers creating games for $4.99 a pop. So if that's the case, how is this going to be feasible for anybody who wants to make it or break it into the video game industry? I just have a hard time. And also, Marissa, I don't know about you, I'm starting to regret the phrase cut the cable. just because it seems like everybody's doing this subscription service. It was meant like Netflix, it felt like they had it going. But now that everybody is joining allegiance with like famous movie studios, just like how Amazon just got MGM, what's next? Who is PlayStation and Microsoft going to buy out? Sony, what's going on? This is scary, fam. But hey, if you're into it, by all means, let us know what's good. But hey, listen now, this was this was crazy. It's all good. There's glitches that happen here and there. But last Friday was a bit spooky and surreal for me because my buddy Scotty came over to hang out. We have a few drinks, and we were going to watch Foo Fighters' new movie, Studio 666. And Scotty wasn't feeling too well, and eventually he left early. But my first impulse is, let's jump on Twitter. Jump on Instagram, see what's good, but I only discovered a cryptic post from Tom Morello stating, God bless you, Taylor Hawkins. I loved your spirit and your unstoppable rock power. Rest in peace, my friend. And this one stung, CCS family, and I'll tell you why. I mean, if you think of one individual like Taylor Hawkins, I mean, there was no one more obsessed with rock and roll and can say they're one of the greatest drummers of the modern era. And you think of drummers like Neil Peart, the Rev from Avenged Sevenfold, you think of Keith Moon from The Who, and there's always one thing in common, and that's there can never be another Taylor Hawkins. And I feel for the group Foo Fighters. They just announced recently that they will be pulling back from their performance at the Grammys, which I think is a smart move. Dave Grohl said, you know, numerous times in multiple interviews that he would never fire Taylor Hawkins from the band. And if he did, he would pay Howard Stern $20,000 if that was the case. But I wanted to share with you guys one of my favorite moments from Taylor Hawkins during his time with the Foo Fighters. And this is not a drum solo, but this is something even better. And this happened during a time where Dave Grohl's voice started to give out and he was struggling to sing the song Times Like These. And Taylor Hawkins, the guy that he is, caught it right on the nose. And this is that live moment. So let's share it with the CCS family, Marissa. Eyes upon tonight. I'm a little divided. I know the fucking words, but I'm singing it anyway. I'm spontaneous. Sing it, team. Well, it's times like these when learn to live again. It's times like these, give and give again. It's times like these, you learn to love again. Well, it's times like these, time to time again. And, you know, every time I watch that, it gives me so much chills. And I'll give you a little back history of my life. You know, you guys probably heard me say this numerous times. The first album I ever bought was Slipknot. But the first record given to me as a gift from my parents was Foo Fighters' In Your Honor. And I have so much to thank you for, Taylor Hawkins. Rest
same,
easy.
Same.
Rest easy, my friend. Oh. Racing will return to Las Vegas next year, with the race taking place on the famous Las Vegas Strip. So the Grand Prix will be held on Saturday night in November, potentially around Thanksgiving, with the track sweeping past some of the city's most legendary landmarks, hotels, and casinos. And we have a graphic artwork of the racetrack that they are proposing. And all I gotta say is, while we're showing this to you guys, I don't know who had the idea to shut down the Las Vegas Strip on a Saturday, thought that that was a good idea, but they should be fired, okay? That's crazy, because my ass, and I'm sure everybody else, wants to be there, so you better start planning your hotel reservations way in advance, because this is going to be a must-watch event in person. So that's something very exciting. So if you want to be a part of that world, you want to check that out, go look for the tickets. That's not my job. That's your job, CCS family. Man, we have to talk about this because he's a millennial after all. 26-year-old U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn is making waves online for suggesting that the Netflix series House of Cards is very much like Washington, D.C., and people that he's looked up to his whole life inviting him to orgies at their home and others enjoying the white line fever in front of him. So we have that clip from that interview. So, oh, we don't. Marissa doesn't have the clip. My apologies. Hey, that's all good, though, because really, everything that I just said right now is exactly what Madison Cawthorn was saying. But what I find interesting about this is...
Well, tell him what he said. Tell him what he said.
Well, exactly what that was. He said basically he's hanging out, like they asked him whether House of Cards was either fiction or a documentary. He looks like a bro in the interview. It's really funny. Like, if you did not know who Madison Cawthorn was, you would have easily thought he was not a politician. But beyond that point, what's really intriguing about this is he's obviously talking about how there are some GOP members who are anti-drugs but are sniffing the white line fever and are probably 60
or 70
years old.
There you go. That's what I wanted you to go to. He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, they're anti-drug, and then they just sniff a line of coke like it was no big deal and invite me to an orgy. Yeah, I was like, give me names, homie. I need those names.
We all know that he likes to speak crazy things up in the past, but what I found interesting, Marissa, was candidate Katie Dean, who's running against Madison Cawthorn this November in North Carolina, tweeted, if Congress won't expel Madison Cawthorn, I will defeat him at the polls. Which, to me, that kind of sounds ludicrous. I mean, how would that... him saying this be expulsion from Congress? But what I did find kind of fascinating was Kevin McCarthy felt the need to speak to Madison Cawthorn. And is there some guilt or facts there? I mean, why would he?
Oh, I think he's being threatened. I think they're like, you better retract that if you want a career in politics, versus him blowing it open. I'm glad he did it. Like, we all know, come on. None of us are like shocked, right? We're like, give me names. Right. He is being silenced.
And I'll leave it at this one final point, too, because the other side of me was wondering, maybe this is kind of the sort of dilemma that the Democrats are kind of dealing with progressives. They have a small party group that is aligned with the Democrats, and they don't want their member of the party to speak out, just like how AOC doesn't necessarily agree with Biden. Maybe they're looking at Madison Cawthorn going, we're done with this, and we're not going to allow people like the progressives have been doing to the Democrats. We're going to shut his ass down immediately, which Kevin McCarthy did. Smoke in the air? Is there a fire burning? Not necessarily in the DC House, but the House is once again poised to pass legislation today to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level. So the MORE Act would remove marijuana from the controlled substance list, leaving it up to the states to set their own laws. It would also release people incarcerated on cannabis-related offenses of less than 30 grams and expunge criminal penalties associated with those who manufacture, distribute, and possess it. And will it go up in smoke when it heads the Senate? I guess we're gonna have to find out what's good. But you know what, Marissa, my kind of first thought was on this was, it's like, we got people like Will Smith assaulting Chris Rock on stage, but he receives a lesser sentence, or matter of fact, no sentence at all. But we got people who have like 7 grams or less of the devil's lettuce in the past still sitting in jail. I don't know about yourself, Marissa, but if I was caught with marijuana and like in an outside state of California and I'm sitting in jail today, seeing what's happening around the 50 states right now with how we treat marijuana in the pop culture today, I'd be losing my shit.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to pass. I hope it does pass because it's ridiculous. People are doing jail time for weed, right? Yeah. I didn't even care if they smuggled it. I don't even care. I just think it's ridiculous, weed, especially when states are making money on weed. Exactly. We also know, you know, the fact that I doubt it'll pass makes me sad. Well, because we need to take it off of the Class 1 Act. So we take that off. Each state can still have their own law. So if you're in a state that doesn't want it and the mass of the population doesn't want it, your state can still criminalize it. But on a federal level, it's not. People can't even get their green card if they say they've ever smoked weed.
Right, right.
Ever smoked weed. Let me tell you how many people lie on that application.
Well, the fact that it's still on the controlled substance list is beyond crazy. And I think it's unfortunate because the sitting president today, Joe Biden, I don't think he is going to let this go through because he has a former son who was a crackhead, and he's going to probably use that as the excuse to not pass marijuana because he tends to think that those two things align, which
because
is
he's
nonsense.
Old because he's
right
old.
He is okay, boomer. Like, we need to get past this now. I mean, this is beyond crazy, but I'm with you, Marissa. I kind of feel like when it goes to the Senate floor, it's going to go up in smokes, and we got some individuals that are even saying like, there's not even a reason to even repeat what they're saying because it's beyond stupid. But this is the week's wrap. This is the Chris Collins Show. Stick around because we got more left on the next half hour mark. What's good, listeners? Joining us on Strike a Chord is 4-piece melodic punk band from Italy. Not just Italy, Milan, Italy. This is Def Lingo live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Also, check out our brand new episode of Off the Fret featuring the Phoenix Within. More music talking. We got the boys here right now from
Yay,
Italy. So
come
you
back
can go
on.
Ahead,
turn
come back
on
your
on.
Video, turn on your audio. We're time to rock and roll. So Def Lingo, how's it going, fam?
Yay!
Hey, how are you? Dude, I am beyond jealous. That is probably one of the coolest microphones I have ever seen in my life.
Actually, it's a fucking cheap microphone from China. I know we paid it 10 euros, which is $10.
Hey, as long as you guys are styling and profiling, that's all that matters.
Okay, so I'm mad that yours is so cheap. Mine was like $90 American.
Hey, well,
it's ridiculous.
This is like Elvis microphone, you know? Yeah.
But hey, you know, listen, as long as you're styling and profiling, you can cheat the cameras. That's all that matters, fam. But we're so beyond stoked to have this across the pond conversation. And Sandro, I was searching the web all this week to discover what in the world Def Lingo means, but I couldn't find anything. So is there any kind of like hidden meaning behind Def Lingo?
Yeah, actually, our old bassist, our former bassist, found out this name. Doesn't mean anything. We don't know why he chose this. It sounds good. So, yeah.
Love it. You're like, we have no idea. It sounded amazing. I love
it. How does it sound good when it says Def Lingo?
That's the word.
Okay, fine. I guess we'll let that brush off. That's funny. I mean, you guys just say, hey, sounds cool, jazzy. Let's roll with it.
Why not?
Is it because it's in English? Like, what would it be if it was Italian? How would you say it in Italian?
Linguaggio dei sordi.
Linguaggio dei sordi.
So I just wanted to hear you speak Italian.
Like movie. Linguaggio dei sordi.
See, you don't even want to see me roll my R's.
That's really sexy.
I know you.
I could do a whole show just in Italian, just to hear you speak.
My dream.
I know you Americans like accent. I don't know why.
because they make you hotter. Like, okay. You're good looking, you guys, and now you're even sexier.
That was Spanish. Right.
But hey, let's get right on into it, because I can't thank the band enough for the early listen of you guys' brand new sophomore album, Lingonberry, which I was kind of joking at the top of the show. Did I just butcher the album title name? I mean, what is the correlation with that, Lingonberry? Is that like a street? I mean, where are you guys going with the album title?
I don't know. One day I was at IKEA. You know IKEA?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we have them here.
and there's this gem called Lingonberry, so we thought that was a good name. So once again,
you saw a correlation with your band name and you went, that's
why not again? Also, the new label that will release the album, it's Swedish, and that is something that they eat.
Yeah, so, lingonberries are from the Scandinavia region.
Yes.
They're very, very popular. My ancestors made a lot of lingonberries.
Marissa, what is this, Jeopardy? Like, how are you knowing all this?
I know random weird shit.
I feel so foreign right now during this interview. But I know you guys have came a long way from recording your first EP in the basement of a pizza shop, which is just so freaking Italian of you boys.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, what stands out differently with your new record?
Well, now we don't have this place anymore, unfortunately. So
that was like our second home.
Yeah, that was our second home. Actually, he was from Egypt, so he was not Italian.
Was the pizza good? Like an Egyptian making Italian pizza?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's quite common in Italy.
Yeah.
So instead of producing LPs, you're producing pizza. Pizza pie.
Yeah.
It is pizza time.
It's pizza time. But I know we're about to be playing you guys' brand new single, Push It. I love it. I feel like
My favorite single. Sorry. I didn't cut you off. But I was like, I love this one.
Marissa, you and I, we both have that same excitement. And I'm a big fan of a band called Fiddlar from Southern California. You guys sound like you guys could easily be the opening acts for that group. You guys bring the rage with that track. You guys tend to sing a lot of songs about being lazy, having zero ambition, and being okay with doing nothing. And Devlingo doesn't seem to think that these kind of personality traits are necessarily bad. So why so? I mean, this is something that millennials are constantly being accused of.
And that's why we are here. We're making our part.
That had zero ambition in that answer right there. Because, I mean,
I have ambition. You're going to die. Why waste time?
It's a pizza party. You're going to die.
I love that you're like, we're all going to die with the biggest happy Italian smile.
But I mean, it's like our generation is like actively engaging with social issues all the time, almost like entirely through our screen. And the Times reported that 70% of millennials check their phones every hour. So like, why do you think that we are deeply anxious about missing out on something better?
That is a complex question. Too much complex.
Do you guys even have, phones out there?
This all makes sense now. I think that is an important message, actually, after all. Yeah. Maybe you need to get away from the negativity. Grab a glass, pour some vodka.
Okay, I have to say, every single band that we've had on that's not American is always smoking and drinking. And I love your casualness. Like, Americans, we're so uptight. Like, we don't show people that we're alcoholics. And you guys just drink anyway. Like, I love it.
Exactly,
like, it's amazing.
So we need to start pushing it to the limit. And I think this is the perfect cue. Start playing one of those brand new singles for the CCS family. This is Devlingo, Push It, live on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show.
We'll be right back.
That's what's good. That is Def Lingo, and that is their track Push It. And this is Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the boys from Milan, Italy. This is Def Lingo. And boys, I mean, throughout your years as an artist, how do you feel about the internet has impacted the music industry? Because, like, we were just discussing, Marissa and I, on the week's wrap, that video game industry is starting to heavily invest in these subscription services. It's like they've been dying to have their Netflix and Spotify moment, and I'm starting to get concerned for those indie developers. And so with that being said, I think about bands like you guys, who are now just about to release your sophomore album at the end of April. And how do you think this is being played out? Do you find this good? Do you feel it bad? Are you kind of in the middle?
Actually, something different from the past. So, you know, for us, it's something new. I think this digital transformation in music industry, it's maybe can be more like democratic, I don't know, more accessible to everyone. If you have something that is good, you don't need to being discovered from a major. You just put this on the internet, contact some agency, some label, and maybe you can have more chance to reach more people.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, there are some positives and negatives. You can be that indie star. You can get your music out there like no problem. We know that TikTok is getting in the game. They are trying to let their users have easier access to be able to publish their music live on, let's say, Apple Music or Spotify. But do you think how much money you receive for your music is fair? I mean, a lot of the times you guys are only receiving like a third or a half a penny. I don't know what that translates out in Italy. I mean, is that even livable? I mean, you're in Milan. I mean, you're like in the fashion capital of Italy. I mean, how do you even get clothing for the day? I mean, if you're getting paid by Spotify.
Yeah, actually, this is the dark side of this kind of thing. So, you know, we can't live with this thing. We have an ordinary job.
It's only a passion.
It's for now, it's just like a passion that we do, and we do with our free time, and
Ever thought about, though, like what the music industry can do to allow you boys to make a living through music? Or is that like you're like, that's not really my job, or it's out of my hands?
I guess it's something that we cannot achieve with our kind of music, I guess.
Yeah.
So we never thought of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing I love about punk. It's people who do punk because it's punk. Like, it's fun, right? And if you end up making some money and you're able to not have a secondary job, like, that's awesome. But that's not why punk rockers do punk. They do it for the music. And to go in and having some money is great.
I saw a little rebuttal.
Oh, I know.
I want to know what's good.
That would be awesome. But that is, I think it's... It's a way of thinking music. Like you can become a rock star. So even if you do punk rock, it doesn't mean that you cannot make money from it. Because if it's good earned money, why not?
Well, of course, I'm not saying don't make money. But let's say if you knew you would never make money in punk rock, like you would never make it, would you still do punk rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would want money for it.
See, I got an idea, because I know a lot of bands are coming out of the pandemic. They're starting to tour, you know, live in the clubs, the venues, and etc. Instead of selling merchandise, let's set up a pizza pie shop right outside the merch tent, and let's sell pizza from Def Lingo. Genius. I could be your guys' co-manager.
America will do it.
See, this is an American idea. See, this genius of me. But hey, guys, the next track that we're about to be playing is called Sleeping. And I love it because it's got catchy bass line, an electrifying solo. Sandra, your voice is so raw and emotional in this track. It's so much fun. And what's the overall message of this track?
Okay. Well, Sleeping is just the lyrics is about relationship, you know, and unconditional love. If you love someone, maybe you can be blind and you can see anything outside. And this is what maybe some relationship can go.
It seems like that's a common theme, because we did have a fabulous singer-songwriter last week, Sophia Marie, and she was discussing how people fall into materialistic love, like foreign accents. Sorry, boys, I know it's hot for Marissa, but maybe that's not necessarily the good idea, you know. But hey, let's just let the music speak for itself. It's a fabulous track. I love it. You are as well, CCS family. So this is Sleeping by Deaf Lingo, live on the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. What's good? That is Deaf Lingo, and that is their track Sleeping. You can find that on their upcoming album releasing at the end of April. And this is Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the boys from Deaf Lingo here with us. And I know on your guys' upcoming sophomore album, Lingonberry, there's a song that you guys decided that you wanted to revisit, which I thought was kind of intriguing, because there's some bands that tend to do this, not all the time, but you guys released an EP called Friend/Failure, released in 2019, and 3 years later, you guys decide to re-record your track, Friends. Why did you boys want to make that decision? Were you not happy with the first production of that track?
Well, we wanted to release Lingonberry before this year, but there was the pandemic, and we were stuck in our houses for a year and a half, basically, with some month of free, and you know, it was difficult. Maybe we weren't ready to do this. We actually recorded this record 1 year ago, and we were in lockdowns, And but it seems like
that's very much a punk thing. I mean, I referenced like Fiddler earlier. I know they did that one time before. They came out with like Cheap Beer, Wake Bake Skate, and they felt like it's such a good track. Like we recorded it because we were so freaking excited. But now that we're actually in a legit studio, we're gonna re-record this bad boy and let people know this is the live atmosphere that we plan to, you know, succumb with this track. I mean, is that kind of the idea, or are you guys just like, we're getting people chirping in your ear like, no, this track is too much to ignore, we gotta re-record this piece?
Of course, we had a different approach in the studio. The EP was recorded in my room, and then we
was decided it off the microphone that you're using right now.
Yeah, we use it this for the vocals, you know.
At least you're doing it in style and a profile. And $10
sure does go a long way.
That, I mean, on a level, I mean, you're using a $10 microphone, but I mean, it is kind of giving that great reassurance for anybody that's listening who wants to be in a punk band or be an artist today. You don't necessarily need all the kick-ass equipment to make it happen. Def Lingo, they're proving it right now. And, you know, this is why I love your guys' track. We're going to be playing Friends. And I know you guys discussed, you know, leaving the country's not that easy. Feeling alone in the suburbs is, you know, like feeling like you got nothing to do because maybe fashion's not your thing in Milan. But I think this is a beautiful song. I think this definitely resonates with the millennial audience today. And let's play that track right now. This is Def Lingo's single, Friends, live on the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show.
It's all about dealing with my friends who left this place. I'm well alone. No one will care about us anywhere. We can go on a little behind. I know it's always getting worse. I know it's always getting worse.
That's what's good. That is Def Lingo, and that is their track, Friends. You can find it on their upcoming sophomore album releasing at the end of April. And I can't thank you boys enough. Congrats on your brand new release. So for the CCS family,
I will be picking it up.
Right? I mean, anybody that wants to pre-order that album, where can they make this happen?
What? Sorry, can you repeat, please?
How can we pre-order this amazing sophomore album that's going to be dropping at the end of April?
Good question.
We want to know.
So what, you guys can either support you boys through, I'm assuming, Bandcamp? I mean, are you guys doing physical distributions?
We will do the physical distribution, and you will have some news coming soon. Check our Instagram or Facebook, and you get the information there.
Hey, that's what's good.
I'm following because I want your album. Like, I have to say, there's a few bands where I'm like, I need the whole album, And you guys are one of them.
That's what I was going to say. You would have never thought that a band from Milan, Italy is dominating the punk industry right now. I mean, you would think your typical SoCal punk bands and et cetera. You guys are outscaling those kind of jets right now.
And before you go, can you say something in Italian again?
Ciao, come stai?
You're leaving me on the edge, honey.
Boys, you guys are fabulous. Have a great rest of you guys' night, and hopefully we can chat later this year.
Ciao. Ciao.
Thank you. Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao.
Peace. But we definitely want to give a huge shout out again to the boys from Milan, Italy. They are Deaflingo. They got an incredible record. I mean, we are definitely advocating for it. Right, Marissa? I mean,
yes, I'll be getting mine.
It's going to be so much fun. I would love to see them out here in Southern California. So support the efforts. Buy the record. That's the number one way we can get this group to start traveling around the world and let the world know what's good.
And Chris, who is next week's guest?
Yeah, we're excited for this one. And this is our one and only CCS contributor, sports contributor, Kevin Drake. We're going to be talking about the MLB's opening season. We got 6 games left of the regular season for NBA until we hit the playoffs. There is so much to discuss. Even the offseason moves that are happening in the NFL. Are you excited? I know I am. And for everybody who is an active listener that joins us every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, without your support, this show wouldn't be possible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, check out our third installment of Off the Fret. More music talk with the boys of the Phoenix Within. Shout out real quick, Cannibal Kids episode, the fourth installment. It's going to be dropping later this month in April. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, enjoy the weekend, fam. Shout out an old peer that you haven't talked to. Call your grandma. Peace. The Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2021, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Tiana Kutcher, Some Daggers Wear Red, Desmond Walker.
I want to see the world with you.
Doulos. Saturn Till June.
Music loud, driving fast.
YT Will.
It feels good to be the bad guy. Walk these shoes, you'll see why. Look at things from both sides. Ain't nothing like the
EC Main.
One thug, Lord, show a little mercy on one thug.
The Phoenix Within.
There's more weight in my words than you give me.
Chloe Wilder. Jonas and I.
It's been brightening up tonight. The aurora down.
Came.
I am the south. South, run that in my mouth.
An animal son.
So tell me how you see reasons to carry on.
Music Storm 2021, available on YouTube Live. Peace. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy.
I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace. What's good? I'm Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. The Phoenix Within, a rock project hailing from Queens, New York, released their long-awaited full-length album, Overdue, joins Off the Fret. More music talk.